Lovely. So if you have got your Bibles with you, if you'd like to turn with me to John 1, 10 to 13. We actually did the verses after this, I believe, on Christmas Day, so it's all gone a bit awry, but it made sense to do it on Christmas Day. And I'll be reading from the NIV version. John 1, 10 to 13. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. We thank God for the reading of his word this morning. So I read an article this week about a church minister. It gave me some ideas. It was a church minister, and he found himself leading a rather wealthy, middle-class church. Every year, Christmas came and went and was celebrated abundantly with, he felt, little thought of Christmas beyond those December months as to why Advent and Christmas were so important. It was just for Christmas. By mid-January, he realised that church business had kicked in. Complaints about how the chairs were positioned became the primary focus of the congregation once again, and the baby in the manger had become a forgotten footnote, not to be mentioned until October or November, when the planning begins again, and even then with the apology of that particular C word as we describe it, until December comes. He realised that Christmas was a joyful season, although slightly inconvenient, but to this church, not particularly relevant to the rest of the year, to their mission, to the church calendar. And he felt that something had to change, and that he had to change it. He felt the church had to understand that Christmas was important and needed to stick with his congregation beyond the new year. So he thought creatively. And over Advent, he came up with a plan. And on Christmas morning, he had replaced all of the chairs with piles of hay. He had littered the areas around the churches with manure. He'd even brought in a donkey who left a special gift for the congregation halfway down the aisle. Some in the congregation laughed and snickered. Some left appalled at what they'd seen and heard, and especially what they'd smelt. But the message that the pastor was trying to convey, the true message that this pastor was trying to get across, was this. This is what Christmas, that first Christmas, looked like. Jesus wasn't born into a nice, comfortable church. He wasn't even born into a nice, middle-class, comfortable hospital. God entered the wealth into filth and grime. It was in this atmosphere, this pastor said, in this filthy chapel, that many were finally able to recognize the true importance of Christmas and the true reality of what it was that Jesus came as a human and as a God to this earth. It's worth reflecting, I believe, this morning, personally, on whether you have recognized that Jesus at Christmas time, that Jesus came into that atmosphere, into that world. He didn't come into comfort. He came into grime and mud. Do we remember that at this time? And are we in those trenches, in that mud with him? Just something to reflect on as we consider what it is to recognize the Savior on the earth. Because this passage this morning is evangelistic, It explains why many don't see God for who he is, even when he's standing in front of their faces. He was in the world, the same world that we are in today. He came to that which was his own. If there was a bit of graffiti that he'd left behind, it probably would have said, Jesus was here. And it should be constantly staggering. I wrote this sermon before I heard Andrew's sermon on Christmas morning, and he's almost word for word said what I'm about to say. It should be constantly staggering, constantly remembered that Jesus chose to be where we are. Someone that was in the comfort of heaven, on a heavenly throne. And he chose to come into our mess. And he chose to come into the real mess, not to be born into something comfortable, but to be born as somebody traveling, as somebody that was to be a refugee, to be born to a teenage unmarried mum in a complicated family. And he felt all the pain that a vulnerable baby feels. He felt all of the pain that a vulnerable adult feels. From cradle to the grave, Jesus felt the full force of human condition. And what this passage is saying this morning is that included the rejection by those that he loved and those he created. And I know many of us will know what that feels like. And Jesus took on that pain and chose to take on that pain for us. And we are here because Jesus came. Every Sunday, December, July, October, we are here because Jesus came. And let us not take that for granted throughout the rest of the year. Let us not be those who do not recognize him, but let's be grateful and in knowledge that Jesus was born into filth for you and for me, and he loves us for who we are. When we forget that, we fail to recognize him, and we want to recognize him because that those who do become children of God, and that's the good news that we're going to take. And how could it be that the world did not recognize their Savior? How can it be? Well, the sad truth is this. The world still does not recognize their Savior now. A lot of the world. There are plenty more people out there than there are in here this morning. And that should make us sad. That should break our hearts when we consider this passage saying that those who receive him become children of God, when we know that that means that those who don't, don't. And as we are all created and loved by God, including those out there, then he is still not received by his own. John, in this passage, is confirming that Jesus was to be rejected in that time and today. And we simply have to open our newspapers to see that Jesus is still not received, is still rejected in our time. But we shouldn't judge too harshly. Miraculous signs were not enough to stop the Jerusalem crowd turning on Jesus. Jesus's clear moral aptitude was not enough to prevent the Pharisees from targeting him. Being a witness to all of the remarkable events of Jesus' ministry was not enough to dissuade Judas from turning on him. These people didn't recognize the truth of who Jesus was. And I implore you this morning to recognize the truth that Jesus is your Savior and to receive him fully, so that you too can be called children of God. You see, the good news is not a Hollywood tale of an obscure start with a happy ending. The good news, the gospel, is a tale of rejection, of trauma, and poverty on the shoulders of our Creator, who went ahead and gave us the option to be God's children anyway. These images circulated a lot in the build-up to Christmas. And I'm not being political. I don't believe you should be political from the pulpit. But they circulated before Christmas. And they depict the traditional nativity scene. Only Jesus is separated from his family and is in a cage. It is, of course, somewhat satirical of how today's America may well have treated Jesus and his family if he was crossing their border as he did into Egypt in that first century Roman Empire. But it does raise an important question, doesn't it? A reflective question. If Jesus came today, would you recognize him? Would I recognize him? Some may well be nodding and saying, yes, I have the Holy Spirit. I will know when the Son is amongst us. But does your hospitality and does your love for others prove that in your day-to-day actions? Or would you stumble into that crowd that doesn't recognize who he is? For those who weren't told by angels who this Jesus was, it may well have been understandable that they didn't recognize him. Jesus, as I said, was born to an unmarried teenage mum. That's not what we expect of our Savior. He was born in a manky manger. That's not what we expect of our Messiah. Early in his childhood, he became a refugee fleeing persecution. That isn't somebody that ticks those boxes to be our Savior. He was born during a genocide of which he was a key target. His life's too complicated. That's not somebody we expect to be our Savior. And then even into adulthood, he was a simple manual laborer, a carpenter like his dad, before becoming an untrained homeless rabbi, then a convicted criminal, then a victim of capital punishment. This isn't somebody that looks very much like our Savior. And yet it is. And we need to recognize that. And we need to recognize that in how we love people, in how we're there for people, in how we judge, or rather don't judge people. Jesus would have been judged a million different ways, but he was still our Messiah, and he was still our Savior, and it was still vital that we recognize us. I think sometimes we fail to recognize the reality of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for us. We fit into our nice little boxes and forget that actually Jesus was part of a dysfunctional traveling community. And it's easy to fall into the trap of thinking that we would simply receive Jesus. I can honestly say I don't know if I would straight away. But I do pray that God works on my heart to ensure that I reflect and try and recognize the Jesus in people more. And also to be where Jesus would be. Because the reason the Pharisees and others didn't recognize Jesus was because he wasn't where they'd expect him to be. He spoke with prostitutes. He spent time with lepers. He had dinner with tax collectors. So where exactly would Jesus be? And again, I think in our culture, we fall into the trap of thinking that Jesus would find himself, if he came back now, in cathedrals and palaces. But would it be more likely he'd be in a place like this, the jungle in Calais? Or would he be amongst the homeless in our winter shelters? Would he be in places we maybe would never go, like the crack dens? The Jesus I know and the Jesus I have learnt about was born into filth. That means he would be in these places, not in the palaces or the churches. recognize Christ this morning, but also recognize where he will be. Pray for those places. Be in those places. Because that's what it really means to be a follower of him. You see, Christ didn't come for Christmas. And the good news is that Christ didn't come for Christmas, but he came for Easter. And he came for you, and he came for me. The second half of this passage this morning is about the consequences of Christ's coming and the consequences of us actually receiving him. And it is good news when anybody receives Christ. It's a message to those who choose to knock, to seek Christ and recognize him for what he has done. Consider John 3:16-17, if you would. I'm sure many of you could say this off the top of your head. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That's the good news. That's the gospel. That is why he came into the grime, so that we can have eternity with him, and that others can too. That's why I'm urgent to get out there. That's why I'm urgent for it to be less people out here and more people in here, worshipping and knowing Jesus and receiving him. And then look at verses 12 and 13 from the passage this morning. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. What a privilege it is to be born of God. And we simply have to receive him because he came. Isn't that good news? These verses are not all about condemnation. They are not a whinge or a whine about the world not recognizing their Messiah. They are ultimately the good news of the gospel, that he came so that those who receive him have hope. Jesus came so that we can have hope. He could have given up on us. God could have given up on us, become a distant God, let that fallen world fall apart. But instead, he chose, even though he knew he wouldn't be recognized, he chose to come in the form of Jesus for each and every one of us, so that we can have hope, so that we can no longer be bound by these earthly bodies, but rather that we can be born of God again. Simply by recognizing the truth of Jesus' birth, life, death, and resurrection, we have a hope that is beyond compare. And once again, we can't take that for granted. These verses mean that rather than this simply being a story or Jesus simply being a prophet, that actually his coming is life-shattering, eternal shifting for each and every one of us who call on his name, who receive him, who recognize him for who he is. He's not just a prophet. And he came so that we can have hope of a future and hope of an eternity. And maybe you came to church this morning and you were feeling pretty hopeless. Maybe you've come to the end of your tether. And to you, I say this. If you believe in his name, if you recognize and receive Jesus, if you believe that Christmas led to Easter, which led to sin being defeated in his name, then you can be born of God, you can be saved by grace, and you can have eternal hope, which is beyond understanding. You simply have to receive a God who wants you to receive him, a Jesus that wants you to recognize him. There is hope. There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son. There is a hope because Jesus came fully human and fully God, so that we, a broken, fallen species, can have hope. And I mentioned this earlier, but if that's something that you want to know more about, if that's something you think you need more of in your life, then do come along to Alpha starting in January. Don't put it off. Come along. There'll be people there that love to talk you through that and pray you through that. We have a hope because of the Messiah coming at Christmas, and because we have the capacity to recognize him and receive him. And this is good news, which is open to all who call on his name. So in summary, if I could sum up the importance, significance, relevance, and, to be honest, ridiculousness of Jesus' coming to earth, these would be the four verses I would use. He was not recognized because he didn't come, perhaps, as we'd expect him to come. But those who did recognize him, those that do recognize him, had hope and still have hope today. So let's leave with some questions. What would Jesus find here in Canterbury if he was born here today? How would we receive him? You see, and let's be clear here, Jesus, as a refugee child, born to unmarried parents under suspicious circumstances, was a Jew in an age where Rome ruled, a carpenter, and yet he was the Messiah. He was a man, he was God, but he was not received. I implore you this morning to recognize him. Millions, perhaps billions of people celebrated Christ Mass in this past week. And yet, how many of them do you think would have not recognized or received the Christ of Christmas? We need to recognize him, we need to commit to him, and we need to make it our mission to tell others about him so they can receive him too. Because it's the saddest part of this joyful time that there are those that don't receive him still, considering all that he's done for us. So I'm going to finish now. I'm going to pray. I don't know if we have prayer team is, but if there's anyone that is willing to stand in the prayer space, that would be great. I'm just going to pray, firstly, that we can re-recognize Jesus again and receive him again, but also for those that don't recognize him in this world today. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you that you came. Thank you that you didn't come into a palace. You didn't come into a place which you wouldn't really understand the pain of humanity, but that you came in a stable. And thank you, Father and Jesus, that you came so that we could have life and have it to the full. Lord, help us to recognize you this morning. Help us to see past the commercialism and the glitz and glamour of Christmas. Help us to see past our presence and realize that the truth is that you are the greatest gift that has ever been given. And Lord, help that be a sign to us that we need to be in that filth too, as you were. Guide us to the right areas to serve. Fill us up with your spirit so that we can go and serve where you would have served. And Lord, help us to spread the good news to those that need to hear it. To all those that don't recognize you or haven't received your name, Lord, we pray. We pray for encounters. We pray for opportunities. We pray that you come into their lives so that you can be recognized by them, so that they too can be children of God and have that eternity that we know is the good news from you. Thank you, Jesus, for coming.